Lord God, we just thank you. I know you're a God who keeps speaking and you have the right words for every situation. Lord, I thank you that your wisdom is not human wisdom, but it's spiritual wisdom. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word which leads and guides. And so, Lord, we look to your word today and we ask that through your word and by your spirit, you would lead us and guide us and continue to free us and help us to enjoy a full salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever made excuses? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. What I want to talk partly about this morning is fulfillment and satisfaction. And I don't know, I think we're meant to live with fulfillment and satisfaction. I found this interesting verse. It's not an uncommon or unknown verse, but I hadn't seen this light before. And Isaiah 53:11 says, talking about Jesus, and Isaiah prophesying about Jesus, saying, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. This word in the Hebrew there for satisfied means to be satisfied, to have enough, to be filled abundantly, supplied. It stands for the fullest realization of expectation or gratification of any particular desire. Reminds me of the other verse in Hebrews that says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I believe that Jesus actually even tasted the satisfaction of what he achieved on the cross even before he's been watching many, many people come to salvation last 2,000 years. I believe we've already sensed that satisfaction and fulfillment even before now. He's certainly enjoying it now. And the text also kind of implies that the Father was satisfied. Like Jesus offering on the cross, his obedience satisfied the Father. So the Father and the Son were both fulfilled through Christ's obedience. And what I kind of want to lean into today is that obedience equals fulfillment. So if we're not feeling fulfilled, are we following Jesus to the degree that we should be following him? Have you tasted, experienced the satisfaction Isaiah is talking about? Do you live in it? I believe we can, and I believe that this level of satisfaction and fulfillment can be rich and deep. So if we aren't, we need to make sure we're not excusing. I believe what we can do is excuse our way out of experiencing the fulfillment God has for us. When God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, he had a few excuses. Now, I only noticed when Tegan was doing her message the other week, I'd never looked at this in this light before, but Moses had heaps of excuses. He didn't actually even say yes. Praise the Lord, he actually finally obeyed. But he had heaps of excuses, five actually, and we want to look at those this morning. But when God kind of shows up and he asks us to do things, he's not looking for excuses, he's looking for someone who... Signals? I don't know if it's something else. You just have to turn back. Don't know what that was. Praise God for technology. All right. So we'll look at these five excuses that Moses made and just check that we're not making the same ones. So the first one will come up on your screen there. Our excuse might be, who am I? Who am I? God, you want me to do that? Who am I? I couldn't do that. And that's exactly what Moses said. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, you can imagine that Moses had issues with his identity. He probably had, you know, I believe from birth God puts desires in our heart for our destiny. And Moses, I think, had a desire in his heart, went before he fled from Egypt. And that's why he went about it the wrong way. He killed the guy who was oppressing his Jewish people. So he went about it the wrong way, but I believe his desire was to free, even then, was to free that. But instead, he went about it the wrong way, he committed murder, he fled into the desert, and I wonder how much he had lost his identity in the desert for 40 years looking after some sheep. Now, God was still preparing him, I believe, in that season, but was Moses aware of that? And too often we can lose touch of our identity in Christ. Who are we? And I think identity is so important. Where, I want to ask you this morning, where have you received your identity from? The playground? The media? Or the Word of God? I believe we need to receive, we're going to ask the same question as Moses did, if we don't have our identity sorted by the Word of God. God's going to ask us to do things, even small things or bigger things, and we're going, who am I? I can't do that. And you know what? God knows who you are. Our identity must come from God, from books like Genesis. You know, God made us and we are good. God looked at everything he made and said it was good. That includes you. It needs to come from places like Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our identity must come from God's word and not this world. Don't take your identity from your parents failing or people at school. If that's the source of our identity, then we'll struggle. We need to allow God to speak into who he has made us to be, and allow him to form in us a secure identity. Secondly, our excuse might be, I don't know enough. I love this excuse. I've used it a few times. It's a good one. Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? I won't know what to say. God calls us, and he knows we are ready. Like he calls us, he knows. Like we might not feel ready, but he knows we're ready. Also, he may lead you to do more study. You know, here's an interesting point. Back in about 28 years ago, I had the desire to learn the guitar. Now, if I'd followed through on that desire, which I think was probably a godly desire, I could have helped the band this morning, not that they needed my help. But you know what I mean? As many times over, actually, we served in a church for 10 years with no live music. Would have been handy to know the guitar then, wouldn't it? I had a desire to learn to type. I never followed through on that desire. That would have been handy too. I had no idea how much typing I'd be doing in the rest of my life. Hey? And interesting, God puts little desires in our hearts. Oh, I can't do that. And we don't follow through on it. But often it's something God's been sowing into us for a purpose, for a reason, for the future. And so God might be leading you to study more. He might be leading you to go to Bible college. He might just be leading you to spend more time in his word and getting more revelation. If you sense those desires in your heart, follow through on them, because God's preparing you, because one day he'll come and say, now I'd like you to do this. And if we follow, and you know what? God will make sure we're ready in one way or another. And I also believe knowledge isn't the answer, but revelation knowledge is. What we need is truth from God and revealed by God's Spirit. And that's what Moses relied on. He was relying on God's Spirit and what God was going to reveal to him. So you know what? We don't need to know everything. Isn't that good? We just need to be connected with God, be tuned into his voice, and follow his leading in our lives. Next excuse Moses used, and we might use, our excuse might be people won't listen. Well, you know what? People don't listen. It's kind of an irrelevant excuse. But you know what? God usually gets people's attention just at the right time, and they listen more than we think they do. I've heard people throughout my life say things like, people who have had something really significant to contribute. And I say, oh, yeah. And I say, well, why don't you share? Oh, but no one will listen. I'm thinking, you don't even know that. You know, I've actually been surprised, and you hear a lot of cynicism out there about preaching and people don't listen. I've been actually freaked out over the years how much people do listen to sermons. They actually do listen. And people are listening more than we realize. This excuse is such a hollow one. People are watching us and they are listening to us. And so just don't even bother with that excuse. And number four, our excuse might be, I don't know how to speak. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent." I'm not sure that's something God looks for anyway. "Neither before or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." And God actually reminded him who made his mouth. Isn't that interesting? Who gave him a voice? I love the story Joyce Meyer tells. You may have heard it. That she was at a conference one time and this bikey guy came up. And, you know, she mainly speaks to women and women conferences. But this, this bikey guy came to her and said, "You know what, for a long time I listened to you on the radio and I thought you were a bloke." And he goes, "I thank God that I thought that, because he was quite sexist, you know, so this biker guy wouldn't have listened to Joyce Meyer on the radio if he thought she was a woman. But because he thought she was a bloke, he listened to her. And by the time he found out she was a woman, he'd already liked listening to her so much he kept listening to her." You know, Joyce Meyer was joking about this, about her deep voice, and you know what? Some of the things we judge ourselves about are the very thing God uses. You know, we want to make an excuse that we, you know, I'm not fast enough or tall enough or good looking enough or smart enough. And you know what? The Bible says in our weakness he is strong. And some of those excuses just don't cut it. The next one, number 5, Moses said, "Pardon your servant, please send someone else." See, he ran out of excuses, so he basically just said, I don't want to. Our excuse might be that I'm not qualified enough. I just don't think I can do it. I just don't want to. You know, what I want to remind us of this morning is that God's already checked your resume before he asked you. And we often want to show God our resume and say, "Hey, I can't do this." But God knows us. I love Jeremiah. And I think it's chapter 1 where it says he called Jeremiah from birth, from the womb. Hey, God knew Jeremiah in the womb. He knows us in the womb. And he has a plan and a destiny for us. And he knows exactly what we're capable of. He knows what we're not capable of. And, you know, I love one of my favorite verses in Corinthians says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, they were just ordinary pots was the illustration. Not spectacular vases, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this power is from God and not from us. See, that's the whole point, is God was getting the glory, not Moses. So his excuses were so irrelevant, and so are ours, because God's just looking for those who will say yes. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro upon the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully his. I'll tell you what, when he finds those people, we see stuff happen. But at least, even though God made all, Moses made all these excuses, at least he still went and obeyed. He still went and obeyed. And you may have made some excuses recently or in the past, but you know what matters is whether we just get on and obey what God's asked us to do. And it may be the little stuff. You know, it might be call that person, or talk to your neighbor, or meet the person down your street, or be kind to the kid at school who no one else is kind to. You know, it's not always the big stuff that we make excuses about. Often it's the little stuff, "Oh, I don't have time," or, you know, "They wouldn't like me anyway," or "I can't do anything." They're all excuses that we need to push through and obey what God's prompting us and asking us to do. Yeah, what if Moses hadn't obeyed? Just think about that for a moment. I reckon those sheep in the desert, in the wilderness, would have got pretty unfulfilling after another 40 years. Hey? Would have just got unfulfilled and bored. There's a guy called Eric Liddell. You may have heard of him. He was a committed Christian and an Olympic runner who won gold medals. And he said this. He's actually, his sister was talking to him and saying, "When are you going back to the mission field in China, Eric?" And he eventually did. But he won gold medals in the Paris Olympics back in the 40s. But he said to his sister this. This is what he said. "God made me for a purpose. God made me fast." He was a fast runner. "God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." when I run, he got this fulfillment and satisfaction out of running because God had made him to run fast. When I run, I feel his pleasure. You know what? Whatever God's asked you to do, if you do it, I believe you'll feel his pleasure. It might be to be a plumber. It might be a childcare worker. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter so much what it is, but it's we're doing what God has asked us to do. And that's where the fulfillment comes. God had set up Eric Liddell to run fast. And when he did it, there was this deep satisfaction in his heart. You know what? God's love, God's wired me up to love people. And I can't tell you how much satisfaction and fulfillment I get out of just loving on people. Yeah, amazing, because that's what God's asked me to do. I want to ask you this morning, do you feel his pleasure when we walk in obedience to who he has made us to be and we do what he has asked us to do? I believe we can experience his pleasure, this satisfaction, this fulfillment I'm talking about. This morning, is God asking you to step out in faith and take on something for him? Then you can be sure that your obedience will equal fulfillment. If you're frustrated, instead of fulfilled and not fulfilled today, maybe you need to check if you've been making excuses. See, the other thing about excuses that bother me is we give our power away. We render ourselves powerless. Every excuse we make, we're giving away the power God has given us to use in life. So when I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time that you made an excuse? Maybe it was this morning. Maybe it was yesterday. I believe today is a good day to take your power back. And how we do that is to say, sorry, Lord. Sorry about that excuse. I know it's not even really true. I know it doesn't even really count. I just want to trust you. I want to take this step. And you know, one of the biggest excuses often people make is, and I've heard this only recently, actually, you know, someone had left going to, it wasn't anyone connected with our churches in a different context, but someone said, oh, yeah, things got busy and this was on Sunday and we stopped going to church and that was 10 years ago. Now, they're still Christian people, but they're missing some of the fellowship they could have enjoyed. What have we made excuses about? Oh, yeah, I'll become a Christian one day. Actually, at the moment, I'm studying because you know what I used to say to people? Oh, I'd love to, one day, in that, there's an excuse right there. One day I'd like to study psychology in a Christian context. You know what? A couple of years ago, I got the opportunity. That door opened for me, and I thought, I'm 50. I was 48 years old. When's one day going to be? When's it going to be? And so maybe this morning you've been saying, well, one day, I think I'll become a Christian. I'll do that later, have a bit of fun, then I'll be, you know what? When's one day going to be? And so a slide's going to come up, I think, and even if it doesn't, we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to invite you to give your life to Jesus. If you've been procrastinating on this one, if you've been making excuses about this one, you know what? I don't think we can fully experience who Jesus is and what he wants to do for us unless we take this step of faith and just relinquish our life to him. So the prayer's on the screen there. I'm going to pray my own prayer this morning, but there's a prayer on the screen. You can pray with me. But let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, we want to surrender our life to you this morning. We want to acknowledge that you are the Son of God, that you died for our sins and that you rose again. We want to acknowledge that we've been living life our own way. And so we want to live life the way you designed it to be lived, full of satisfaction, full of fulfillment, because we're in relationship with you and following your will and your way. So we choose you today, Lord Jesus. We choose to be in relationship with you and we choose to do things your way today, knowing that they're best. In Jesus' name, amen.